house occupy a cold flat. New shoes, new coat, old hat. Seen it all and I won't go back. Nah, I've been there, yeah, I've done that. Ooh, big dreams that swelling in my head. Big dreams, big boy, big bed. Wanna share them all. The last time I did, I learned some things are better left unsaid. Because where we come from, we lock our dreams in a box. Pedal back and forth all day, fuck our jeans and our socks. Pay the alphabet is full and all our peace don't get wrong. Where everybody bears a cross but barely believes in God. See, it's hard sometimes, we make it somehow. If we can't make it, then we'll take it, give it now. Hand it over, little buddy, all my dreaming is on scheming. I'm an angel in the daytime, I'll kill you in the evening. Dream big, kid, kid, dream big. Dream big, kid, kid, dream big. If a couple of working class black guys can make a punk band with no guitars on stage and play music all around the world, you lot can do anything you put your mind to. Dream big, kid, kid, dream big. 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 They'll say you can't do it because they never did. Everybody give it up for the littlest Bobby villain there is. Thank you very much. I love you so much, Billy. You can do anything you put your mind to, I promise you.
Okay, so joining me on the show today is an artist called H. Bernard, who put out an album last year called The Everyday, which was an incredible album, just a very genre-blending album, very kitchen sink reality kind of writing on it. And he has a new EP coming out soon, and I'm glad to say that H. Bernard is joining me on the show today. Hello, H.
Hey, hi, Ru. Hi, everyone. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm very excited to have you on the show today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
How have you been doing?
I'm good, thank you. It's boiling hot in London right now. Really, really, really hot. Like, kind of too hot to do any work.
That's fair, that's fair. So hopefully we'll just have a chilled out little chat about your music. Your music spans a lot of different genres. You know, when I listen to your album, I hear indie, pop, psychedelia, some hip-hop, some funk. What are you listening to at the moment?
At the moment, I'm listening to a lot of Chemical Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the underground rap stuff that's happening here in the UK. They call it the Ozbat movement. I'm listening to a lot of that. But I wouldn't say those sounds influenced the album. That's just what I'm listening to right now. But they didn't really influence the album. I'm always listening to different shit, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a bit about what you were listening to around the album's time, or like what the inspirations were there.
Album time, I was listening to a lot of M83. You know, the guy that had that big massive song that was he was really known for that, but he actually has a lot of really cool like electronic shoegaze albums. Like going all the way back, there was one from 2000, which I was listening to a lot. I was listening to a lot of shoegaze, to be honest. And a lot of, like indie stuff, a lot of the French indie stuff, which is a genre I've been into since I was in my late teens. So yeah, I was just heavy on that kind of guitar music then.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that a bit of like shoegaze, a bit of that dreamy vibe creeped into the album. And does that like then influence how you write, how you produce and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I started off as a producer. So I started off making beats and stuff when I was a kid and selling like hip hop and grime beats to rappers. And then late teens, I got into a bunch of different genres like dance music and bands. Metronomy was one of my favorite bands. A lot of the stuff coming out of Australia too. Mm-hmm. And then, I just decided I wanted to become a producer, and then slowly I ended up singing on this stuff. And so I guess production first, then the lyrics come, then the vocals come after that.
And what incredible lyrics on there as well. Like, so
Thanks.
listeners to this show would have heard some of the stuff from the album because we've played it on before, The Everyday. It's like I was saying, very kind of kitchen sink realism kind of stuff going on there. And you paint this picture of your life in your hometown of Peterborough, just like the everyday stuff, the mundane little details, the small little snippets of life. But it's also very cinematic. Like the first song on the album that you have, The Everyday is the Same. The alarm clock, the repetition. Just tell me a bit about that song. I really love that song.
Thanks. Not many people talk about that one, so that's nice. You know what? With the Everyday album, it actually runs like a coming of age movie. Like the way that I wrote all the songs and structured the track, it's supposed to kind of represent like a summer in the suburbs, like or like from school ending, prom, all the way to like what like a kid getting his first job and stuff. It's kind of like self-referential about me, so that every day is the same as kind of like the first scene of the coming of age movie where you're seeing the kid, or like not kid but like young main character, wake up and go and deliver newspapers or work a crappy retail job. And that song is kind of he's kind of I wouldn't say stressed, but like it puts you into what his headspace was supposed to be if the album was a movie. Do you know what I mean? That's why it's nice to hear you say cinematic, because it we really wrote that like a film score rather than an album, you know?
I totally hear that. And there are little bits in there that just become kind of like condensing points in this cinematic film as well. Like, I like that there's this contrast between the aspirational and the realism. And there's this juxtaposition of that stuff. You look at songs like Sandringham, which again, you've got lines on there like, do you know them ones when your heart's sinking because you're low on funds? But then you contrast that with the aspirational stuff and you're like, one day dreaming, I'll be the richest man in Sandringham. And the little points like Wits End as well, where you're like, shining designer heels ain't much good for much but social climbing. That's a great line, by the way. So like tell me
Thanks.
how you approach the lyricism on the album. Like you have said it's very cinematic.
Honestly, it was a long process, but it was fun because I think I must have made three songs, and first one was it was like Sandringham I made, Every Day is the Same. I think those are the first, and then Wits End, actually. Those are the three that I actually did first. And then it was kind of easy to write lyrics because Sandringham, the song was so positive. Like the beat, like when we made the beat, it was so positive. But I thought it'd be too cheesy to write a completely positive track on it. So, and I wanted the first album to be about my life as a young working class person in England, because you don't really hear that. And so Sandringham was written about something slightly more, not negative, but it's not like skipping through the meadows, even though the beat when it was by itself felt like that. So yeah, and then it was easy to write the rest of the lyrics for the album because we just started to say do it like scenes in the movie. So we'd be like, oh well, what happens next with the guy after he's had his dream of him getting out of his job? And then we were like, oh, maybe that's the point in the movie where he meets a love interest. And then we could go, okay, cool, let's write this like super in character. He's first falling in love. And then it's just, yeah, we didn't even have like one movie that we watched. It was just like I was kind of going off the top of my head of like what would happen in a typical coming of age film, you know?
And it seems that that film might need to be made now for Peterborough.
I wish that was actually the plan, but yo, doing a film at that level costs too much. So we just did Sandringham, Hallelujah, and Running Circles.
You also had a little shout out from Iggy Pop for that, which is how I got to know about your album in the first place.
Yep, so cool. Thanks, Iggy. That was so random, to be honest.
Have you been able to like keep up with him at all? Maybe like talking to him about doing a feature on your next work or anything?
Been able to speak to him. I spoke to his producer and they were like, yeah, Iggy really likes that Hallelujah song, but I haven't got to speak to Iggy, sadly. But that was a big honor. And honestly, it was random because the album had been out for like 5 months, 4 or 5 months. And it kind of, things had kind of quietened down over the winter. And then, yeah, he did that shout out and got a lot of new people into the record, which is sick.
Yeah, the typical sleeper hit route, right? I feel like we haven't seen that in a little while.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for a while and a lot of my stuff kind of resurfaces every year or two. Like a project that I did in 2021 seems to be resurfacing again now. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why, but
there was the feature in FIFA as well, FIFA 23.
Yeah, it was so sick of me was in FIFA, I think. Yeah, like, cool stuff happens, you know, people like the music and it seems to last a long time, longer than I always thought. And yeah, sleeper hit's a good word for it. I'm kind of embracing that now. As long as I get to make the things I like, I don't really care when people find it.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like people get to kind of see the growth when they come to it afterwards, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think if someone finds anything now, at least they can go back and you've got loads to go into. I mean, it's like me with M83.
Mm-hmm.
I heard his big, massive one, you know, in 2010 when it came out when I was a kid. And I just thought, that's a good one. And then I think I listened to that album the year after. And then I never listened to nothing again. And then years later, literally 10 years later or whatever, I'm going back to his 2000 album. And I'm like, wow, I love this. I'm buying it on vinyl and stuff because it's so good. You know, I think that's quite a cool place to be. If I could have that, I'd be very happy. And I think it's happening.
Mm-hmm. That's good to see as well. And as people kind of join you on your journey, they get to see the new stuff that you've got coming up too, because you have a new single that's just come out called Have You Given Up?
Yes.
So tell me a bit about that song. From where I'm sitting, from where I'm listening to it, it seems like a song kind of about dreamers on the verge of, like, you know, taking a big leap of faith, doing something big, but then your feet are still on the ground.
Yeah, you got it perfect. You're a good music listener. You're getting everything. You're getting everything right. That is literally it. You know, after the album, like, the album took like a year, the Everyday one, of writing. And like I was really focused on lyrics, which is dope. But like with this new music, I just got back on doing the weirder, crazier production and like really tapping into what I think is cool and what's unique. And then because of all that working out the lyrics on the album, naturally I've realized topics that I like to talk about. And I like that nearly given up phase. I like that coming of age, you're about to enter a new phase kind of music, because I think it's good for someone. We're always in that position, you know? Mm-hmm. Something's always around the corner. And yeah, so I made that beat. I'm back producing all the beats pretty much alone again, which is super fun, because the album I worked with loads of producers and great writers. But now I'm back in this room I'm sitting in now, and I made that beat, and yeah, that was just what was on my mind. So I sung about it and it came together really nice.
Mm-hmm. So this this EP is just going to be you just working by yourself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with my friend Marcus Anderson, and that's it on this one. And he's like a cool producer. He did So Sick of Me with me and a few other songs with me. He's like really smart. So a lot of the time I've been sat in the room making the beats with him, and he just kind of cheers me on to do the weirdest things possible and then helps me clean it up. But apart from that, yeah, right now I'm just like very self-sufficient, which is fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. But also production-wise, again, it feels like you've got one foot in a performance venue, one foot in a rave nightclub.
Yeah, definitely. Have You Given Up definitely has that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like the acid again, like I usually just put in whatever sounds and things I'm interested in. So like one of the things I'm realizing is I love psychedelia, but like there's other ways to do things that feel psychedelic rather than just it's not every day just put the guitar with all of the stuff on it, right?
Yep.
So with Have You Given Up, I'm like, okay, what's another form of psychedelia? Like that kind of 90s acid sound. Yeah, I just like that. I like that feeling with music where psychedelia just makes it feel like it really takes you away from reality, you know? So this new stuff is just the same as the album, but just a different type of psychedelia with similar storytelling. And it just happens to be a bit more club vibe. So yeah, I'm excited. And like people who liked the album still like this kind of thing. And people that liked the stuff before the album like this thing. Kind of just using all the skills I've built up.
Yeah, and like it's an interesting connection as well, because I feel like those like mid-90s psychedelia projects also kind of came from the same electronic thing, right? Like that whole acid thing, they got it from the same place.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Defo. This is a cool era. And I don't actually look into it too much because I don't like being too referential sometimes. Like sometimes I'll just listen to like one artist from that era and be like, that's it, I'm gonna take that thing from it. Like, not to be ignorant, you know, but sometimes ignorance is good, because then you know what I mean,
music,
I
don't want
to like you don't want to copy too hard, and if I know everything then I might start to replicate, whilst if I'm just like, you know what, that sound the Chemicals Brothers doing on this album is sick, I want a bit of that, bury it, and then it's kind of its own thing and it's HFI'd, you know.
Yes, I like that, HFI'd. So then does that change the kind of venues that you try and play it in? Like, do you think you're going to try and take this venue into a club, this EP, your music into a club maybe?
Depends what type of club, I suppose. I'd do it. Oh, I'm down to do it. Oh, festivals, clubs, wherever people want to hear it, it'll be.
Absolutely. So this song is going to be on an upcoming EP of yours called Music for Making Friends. You were saying
it's
very necessary for now. Tell me about the EP.
So the EP is kind of like it's nothing really to do with the album, but it's like the album from last year, but it's kind of like my response, where the album took a long time to make and it was quite deep and complex and like self-referential. And even what I was wearing and the images I was doing with that album, it took a lot of work, like a lot of research into my past and English culture and all these things. Whilst now I'm a bit more like, okay, I kind of just want to make the coolest, weirdest music, tell the truest, most honest stories. Like the lyrics are not taking me long anymore. Like we're not doing that movie script stuff anymore. It's just straight, how does this feel? That's what it's going to be about. Bang. And it's coming out good because I've done those reps with all these EPs. I've done so many reps that it's coming quicker to me. And I'm like trusting instinct rather than like planning or referencing things so much. So yeah. And then I realized, what do I even want this music to do? Rather than it be a movie or like before, or this crazy grand narrative, what do I actually want people to do with this new music? I want them to make friends with it. As in like show their friends, like nothing is better to me from when I was 15 to now is like all of my friends are through music, and not the music industry either. None of that. I'm saying all my friends have good taste in music from when I was a kid. I met kids when I was 12 because, oh, you like this song, I like that song. Now we're friends. Some of them I'm still friends with now. And I just started to look at my life and I was like, wow, music really has the power to make people become lifelong friends, or even temporary friends. You might just meet someone at a festival, you both like this artist, you're both watching and you chill for the evening. So I'm kind of telling people like, yo, you can do that with this stuff I'm making. You should do that with it, and we need to do that with it. Don't make this all, you know, this whole like main character syndrome thing. This is my anti. You can be a main character to the everyday if you want, you know, you can be in your own movie, but this one is more, nah, go, you know, tell your friends about your breakups, tell your friends about your issues.
It's more of the collective catharticism, or like collective kind of, you know, coming together, and music being the kind of common link.
Yes, exactly, you know.
But also, so, you are a collaborator, you know, that I guess is also one side of it, right? Making friends through making music.
100%, 100%. Which is funny because I haven't had that many friends help me on this, with this actual music. But that's fine. I think it's kind of like a different thing. I'm more just interested in making music. I'm interested in speed and excellence and natural instincts that are built. But what I want to do with it, like last year with the videos for the album, we're going back to Peterborough. We're doing all these big videos and stuff. And it's some, like the Sandringham video, mad lonely kind of vid. Like it's me in the shopping center and stuff. Now I'm like making a song at home, finishing it, going showing my friends and recording it on my phone. And we're laughing and having a nice summer. And that's how I'm presenting it. Like this is actually what everyone should be doing. You know,
yeah,
life's hard, man. We gotta just like have fun with this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So the message from the EP is basically go out there, get your friends, listen to your music together, have fun.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. That's kind of it. Like again, the album was like a comment on my life growing up in Britain and working classness and a lot of stuff. This new stuff, the stories in it are still deep. I think I'm naturally tell emotional stories just naturally. I always tell fairly emotional stories, but so you can tap into that if you want. If you want to go on Genius and read the lyrics, you should, because they're real. But also you can just have this stuff on at the barbecue. You can just like, do you know what I mean? You can put the red t-shirt on and just go on a walk with your boy and catch up, or your girl and catch up with them, you know.
Mm-hmm. I do love the t-shirt, and I feel like we've been seeing them around your socials as well, the Music for Making Friends t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I love that.
I'll be dropping those t-shirts soon.
So then give us the EP details, like when is it coming out? When are the singles, if there are any other singles coming out?
There'll be two or three more singles,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come out in a couple of weeks. We'll see. Yeah. I'm playing it by ear. And the EP, just as the summer ends.
Okay, which is a good time for like going out. It's hot, it's summery, festivals and all of that. What's happening live as well? Like, are you doing festivals and such? Do you have dates for shows?
We haven't got that many festivals booked right now. We're just really focusing on pushing this record.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think next year, you'll see us around. We'll probably do a headline in London before the year's out. But that's the festivals next year.
Okay. And what is the live experience of seeing H-Burna like? What is the live vibe like?
Crazy. We tried a few different vibes over the years. Like sometimes we've done it with a band, guitar, bass, synthesizers. But I've really brought it down to basics now. And it's kind of just me singing, playing around on the SP, like a trigger pad, and just turning up and like just enjoying ourselves rather than band situation. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. That's what it is. A lot of lights, a lot of fun, a lot of togetherness.
Amazing. So tour possibly next year. The EP is coming out at the end of the summer. It's a good EP to listen to.
Yeah, end of the summer.
We're going to listen to the song, Have You Given Up, which I've actually been listening to for a little while. Love it. That's all great. One, I guess, last thing that I do want to tie in, since we were talking about like making friends and even a little bit about collaborating, what was it like for you then working with Paris, Texas? Because you had him on Hallelujah. You had them on Hallelujah.
Yeah, I love collaboration. I know I've been saying I'm doing all this stuff alone right now, but I've always loved collaboration. Paris, Texas, you know, I've known them guys for a long time, like before they made the group, before they ever came out with a song.
Mm-hmm.
I met one of them, Felix, in LA in 2018, I think. And he showed me some of the stuff they were doing then, and I was like, these guys are so good. And then we just stayed in touch, really, like on the internet, sending each other memes, like real pen pals. And then I met the other guy, Louis, and like we have the same humor and the same music taste. And they're basically my pen pals for years. And then every time they came to London, we'd chill, hang out. And then when their stuff started popping, I'd pop up at the shows and we'd have food and stuff. And we tried making a few songs over the years, like, but it didn't really work, but we stayed good friends. And then I just knew I wanted a feature on the album when I did it, the last album, and it had to be them. And then finally, I just had the right beat. I'd made this beat. I made the beat alone in Prague. And then my friend Marcus, again, who I told you about, he put some guitars on it. And then I just took it to them when I was in LA in 2023. And I told them the whole story of the album. And I said, we need a moment where the character in the movie, what do they call it in a movie? Like a pivot. I can't remember the exact word. It's like a moment in every... Like
the moment everything changes, yeah.
Yeah, like especially in the coming of age movie. So yeah, I took the beat to Paris, Texas. And then basically I told them they needed to play the role of like the two bad kids that you meet when you're a kid, and they might take you down the wrong path, like you start smoking and stuff. There's, you know, the bad influences. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of like the bad influence, like, because the song before that was Wit's End, where the main character has his heart broken. And then Hallelujah, the song is when he's like, yeah, he's had his heart broken and he meets two bad kids. Mm-hmm. And they understood the energy and it was funny. And then like they liked the beat, and then they got in the booth and they were just like, H, what do we rap about? And then I stood in the booth with them, like telling them this story and being like more aggressive, and they killed it. And that was it. And then, yeah, we were all happy with it.
Love that. So what's coming up next for you? You've got the EP out soon, the tour, anything else in the pipeline?
Right now, that's what we're focusing on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think after this EP, we'll do another album.
Okay.
I think I'll do another album. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'll do another album. But right now, I'm just trying to get as many people to hear this EP and also find that previous album, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The more people hear and share it and make friends with it, then the more I can come and see everybody in the world, because I know I need to be going to Canada and Japan.
Absolutely.
And all these places. But I just need more. I need more, a few more people in each place, and then I can come and visit.
Amazing. And where can people keep up with your work? Like, what are the plugs?
Just at H Bernard on everything. HAICHBERNA. Everything is the same.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for your time today. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go out with Have You Given Up? H Bernard, thanks for joining me on the show.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Ruth. Mm-hmm.
These things can change with us. Have you given up? You're ashamed to say that you just wanted more. Head in the clouds, but your feet still stuck on the floor. Running round, trying to find a way just to make it work. Running round every night. Where do we go? Away we go. Where do we go? Away we go. Oh la la. Lost my mind. I've been trying to stay true. The only way to stay alive, keep on doing what you do.
Cause it's been a while, and it's getting hard. We don't wanna cry sometimes, but we'll be alright.
Keep on running, this ain't nothing. Your time's coming.
Oh no, 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 no. Entirely sinking.
is H. Bernard. You're listening to CFRC Radio in Kingston, Canada. Big up.
Hey, I'm Alec, and this is
Molly, and you're listening to CFRC.
You gotta say our band name.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston,
Ontario.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC FM 101.9 FM, cable channel 954 in Cogeco, and available on the World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. I am Weave. Good evening, one and all. Kind of kicking it here a little, you know, in advance. At some point, I will be in live again. I don't know when that's going to be. But hopefully in the next few weeks, because there's a couple things I want to do this summer, and I kind of want to rock them live. But, you know, as is life, sometimes these things don't always work out. But, you know, I think this is going to be a good show that I've put together here. It's going to be kind of rocking this one, I think. We're going to play a brand new Red Cross album has come out, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. We'll talk about that more at the top of the hour. To start with, though, the first little bit, I'm going to play like a whole whack of local things, because there's a few new local records that have come out in the last couple weeks that we're going to start with. Strange Happenings, who are going to have their debut album very shortly, Realm Lord, dropped a song called Subliminal. I'm going to play that. The album, I don't think, comes out until like the end of the summer, like end of August or something like that. So maybe there'll be a couple more songs between now and then. I don't know. We will see. But we have this one now, so I'm going to play it. To start off with, though, we're going to have a brand new Screamin' Sins. It has been, you know, a few years since they put out a new record, but their new one is an EP called Haven for the Damned. I know that they've been sort of working on and off for a while. They got a new drummer now, Landon, who is, you know, was in Beta 58s and a bunch of that. So I'm going to bust out a song from that to start out with, which is called 6 Feet Under. And then we'll, like I said, we'll get into the Strange Happenings. And then I got like a run of local things that are new-ish. Some Emily Steele in the deal. And this band I found called Party Crime is going to be on the hit list, if you will. But yeah, so let's get right into it, shall we? Here is from the brand new EP, Haven for the Damned. This is Screamin' Sins with 6 Feet Under on CFRC.
Yeah. He only asked for takeout. All the while I knew him. Never knew he was a crowd. I'd have a phone line with me. Cries of pain. Figured it was his dog. Listen to Johnny Rotten. Beyond the realm of right and wrong. A phone line with DG. I shed a phone line with DG. I shed a phone line with DG. Man, that was really creepy. Was nothing but a boor. Shed a phone line with Niji. I shed a phone line with Niji. I shed a phone line with Niji. Man, that was really creepy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Numbers out of service.
A woman.